Welcome to the H2H Human Connection Done Right Summit, bringing together forward-thinking leaders who understand that true innovation happens when people, process, and technology work in harmony. Lean into this refreshing, energizing experience designed to inspire you with a new approach to a timeless principle. Our speakers will offer fresh insights that will challenge perspectives and spark new ideas.
Hello, my name is Darren Lauda, and I'm the CEO of Outset. I am wearing my Clemson orange because we have ACC basketball championships tonight, so go Tigers. Really excited to be speaking with you today. I want to talk about a job that I had that I absolutely loved, and I lost. I was working for a small software company. When I arrived, the company had less than $5 million in annual recurring revenue run rate. In less than 20 months, we grew it through $20 million in recurring revenue. Some of the things that we accomplished, I thought were unimaginable. We built an enterprise sales function when it did not exist. We landed marquee customers like Salesforce.com. We landed our first $1 million a year customer. On the sales side, things seemed to be going very well. Marketing was growing. The team was getting bigger. The budgets were getting bigger. Product was growing. We were winning everywhere, and I was so enthusiastic. I loved it. I had a ball. And then after all that growth and all that success, on the first Monday of the new fiscal year at 5 p.m., the CEO called me in and he said, "Darren, we've decided to go a different direction with your contract." I didn't even really know what that meant at first. I wasn't really on contract, but the bottom line was I was unemployed. I was offered the opportunity to stick around for a week and transition some things, to have conversations with people, maybe a little celebration on Thursday or Friday about my new adventure. But I didn't stay. I actually said, you know what, I'd rather just go home tonight and be done. I didn't think it would be healthy for me to be walking around the building, and I didn't think it would be healthy for the team. So that was it. I went home unexpectedly and shockingly unemployed, and with very little feedback. I didn't really know what happened or why. So as you might suspect, I had a lot of questions and not many answers. So I had a decision to make. I could get angry at the business. I could point fingers and talk about what was done to me, or I could spend time trying to figure out what I might have done differently to change the outcome. And so that's what I did. I spent a lot of time and a lot of introspection, and I came to the conclusion that I could have worked better on cross-functional communication, harmonizing processes cross-functionally, and making sure that I really built human-to-human connections, which is why I'm excited to be speaking as part of this event today. Specifically, when I think back, there was a relationship triangle that needed to be formed across finance, marketing, and sales. And we failed to form that triangle. Finance was its own island, not uncommon. Finance has its spreadsheets and its ways of doing things. They use their own data sets to build their own forecasts. Marketing was its own island, doing things its own way. And I was doing my things my own way in sales. And look, it was working. We were growing like a weed. But at the end of the day, when we as leaders of these really important functions were rolling up information to our CEO, it was probably confusing for him. It was probably difficult for him. It probably was hard to hear marketing say one thing and sales say another. When I reflected upon this, it really came down to a board meeting where I think it all came together in my brain when I look back in time. Marketing went first in this particular board meeting and declared success. We killed it. We got all the leads, the qualified leads, the pipeline generated. Marketing is green on every metric. We absolutely killed it. Then I followed with sales. And I said, well, sales, we missed the number last quarter, only by about 5 points. We were 95% to our bookings target. It was a timing issue. We'll make it up in the next fiscal period. Then finance came in and said, well, marketing made it, but they overspent. Sales made it, but they asked to hire extra capacity to make up the gap in the next quarter, right? So it's really interesting. Marketing had one story, sales had another, and finance had yet another. We weren't working together. We were working in parallel. Some might say, well, Darren, shouldn't that have been the CEO's job to fix? Shouldn't the CEO have brought people together in a harmonized way? Well, yeah, maybe, but here's the thing. I was focused on what I could have done differently. How might I have changed the dynamic so that I could have kept the job that I loved? And it started for me with communication and building a really good plan for cross-functional communication. And that's not easy to do because finance uses a different vocabulary than sales, and sales than marketing, and you kind of go in a circle. And when you're dealing with translations and linguistic issues, you can have some really interesting and scary at times results. Let me give you a few fun examples. In 1977, then President Jimmy Carter was speaking in Poland, and he said to the Polish people, it's kind of a tongue twister, I desire to know what the Polish people desire for the future. That was somehow translated into, I desire the Polish people carnally, right? Not the word the president used. In the 1980s, Parker Penn, you remember when we used to put pens in our pocket or we'd throw them in our laptop bag or our purse or whatever the case might be? People actually signed real things. Parker Penn had a slogan that said, it won't leak in your pocket and embarrass you. That slogan was translated in Spanish and run in Mexico as, it won't leak in your pocket and get you pregnant. One more for fun. Air Force One sneakers launched by Nike in 2016 had two Chinese characters on the back. One character by itself meant to create wealth. The other said positive energy or power. When you put them together, they said to gain weight or get fat, right? Not what you want on the back of your athletic shoe. So I think that's why Richard Branson has said publicly many times, the most important skill a leader can possess is the ability to communicate effectively. It's about communication. But here's the thing. In business, I see this all the time. Leaders, especially senior leaders, confuse telling with communicating. I told you what to do. I told you not to do. That's telling. Communication, by definition, is bidirectional. It's a method for sending and receiving information using a common set of symbols or signs or behaviors. That's what communication is. And I could have worked better in my role to communicate cross-functionally. And I could have worked really hard to try to drag my peers along with me. And when I reflected upon my behavior, I just didn't do that. So when I go back to that board meeting and marketing told and sales told and finance told, it made me think through a process of, how should we have behaved? How could we have avoided that situation in the first place? And I came up with three things. Number one, this relationship triangle of finance, marketing, and sales should have created a common set of goals and definitions that we all agreed upon. Number two, we should have planned collaboratively, excuse me, on how we would go achieve those objectives. And then number three, we should have put in place a technology infrastructure that allowed us to monitor progress and communicate really, really well. It didn't work for us because we each had our own systems. And look, somebody might say, isn't this obvious? Well, I can tell you, I've been a W-2 employee at very large companies in very large roles. I've also worked within startups. I've also been a consultant to startups and large companies. And especially in the consulting role, I hear it all the time. I told them, they're trying to tell me, I told them, I warned them. It's rarely about real, true communication and dialogue. So let's talk about it. Let's assume that we're working on communication. We want to start building that set of shared goals. And let's pick a simple one, a simple example. Let's say I suggested as the sales leader, we are going to achieve $5 million in revenue from net new clients this fiscal year. It sounds pretty straightforward. Let's just put that one on the books and go, right? Well, I would say no, because we have some language issues. Number one, sales leaders tend to interchange the word bookings with revenue. I can't count the number of CROs who will tell me, I booked X million dollars in revenue last month. Well, they didn't. They created X number of dollars in bookings. Finance determines how it gets taken to revenue. If you know how recurring revenue models work, a large booking in month 12 of the fiscal year might result in zero revenue for that fiscal period. So, first question, are we chasing revenue or bookings? Next question, net new clients. What is a net new client? If we've never talked to them before, that's pretty easy. But what if somebody churned? What if they're a customer for 1 year or two or three and churned, and we win them back? Is that a net new client or not? It's important because nobody's going to chase a 3 year churn if it doesn't support the goal because that's declared not a net new client. What if we're chasing enterprise deals and Lockheed Martin, giant company, is a customer in the aeronautics division? Then in a separate state with an entirely separate chain, the Rotary and Mission Systems group decides to join our service. Is that a net new client? All these definitions matter because they're going to drive behavior across sales and marketing. So getting these goals right, getting the definitions clear, and communicating them well is wildly important if you're going to create this relationship triangle that I'm talking about. It's important that we do this because we're going to ask for resources to go pursue these goals. Marketing is going to ask for dollars for campaigns. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. It could be a demand generation campaign, ads, LinkedIn, PPC, you name it. It could be a brand awareness campaign. It could be social media. It could be influencers and referral partners. Whatever the case might be, if we get to the spot where a net new client doesn't count if we've ever talked to them, well, shoot, what's marketing going to do? And when finance gives this money to marketing, it's going to have an interest in understanding when the returns might come. If I give you $100,000 to invest in this campaign, when will I see revenue and cash? Finance needs to understand all the conversion points across the flow to know that investing that money makes sense. So if sales and marketing have not agreed upon definitions and they're arguing about what a qualified lead is versus a non-qualified lead, all the conversion points are broken. Finance can't see the leading indicators it needs to get to revenue and cash. So defining these definitions very, very clearly is important to the overall success of building that triangle. I'm going to set aside marketing attribution. I don't want to talk about attribution wars right now. If marketing was sending messages and the SDR got on the phone, we'll set that aside for now, but that's something else that also has to be discussed and debated. And here's the thing. You have to get this right because when we're going to go chase all this money and try to get things done, finance, marketing, and sales have to align and work together as a team. And you can't wait for someone else to drive. If I was waiting for the CEO to make that happen subconsciously, I was making a mistake. I was kind of playing the Hunger Games. May the odds be ever in your favor, Darren. But here's the thing. Katniss and Peeta got to live. I was dead on the ground at the end of that cycle because I wasn't forcing the cross-functional collaboration, because I wasn't forcing the cross-functional definition making, because I wasn't working to build the human-to-human connections with my peers. Look, honestly, they weren't working too hard to build them with me, right? It was a systemic problem, but it was in my control to try to affect the change. So, had I done that, had I got the communication in line and gotten things working in the right direction, it would have been a golden opportunity to utilize technology to look at leading indicators and see where we were going. To do that, I should have taken a couple of steps or encouraged the business to take a couple of really important steps. Number one, we should have looked at the marketing automation platforms and figured out what our sources of truth were inside that system. Which fields are we going to queue off of? How does data in those fields get populated? How do the calculations work behind the scenes? Number two, Salesforce automation systems, exact same thing. Fields, how do they get populated? How are the numbers calculated? Three, finance, what are they using? Are they using a series of spreadsheets to build forecasts for us as well? Is it a financial planning and analysis tool? But the same thing. What's finance going to use? Once we knew in the systems what all our definitions were going to be, I would have gone on a witch hunt for spreadsheets. What spreadsheets are sitting under the covers in month three of the new fiscal year using assumptions for month four, five, and six of the prior fiscal year? So now that we've cataloged all this data and all this information, we'd have to look at the flows across functions. If you are of a mind in the revenue architecture world, you might say, I need to build my conversion points across awareness, education, selection, mutual commitment, win-loss, and onboarding. And yes, onboarding matters even in that new client metric, because if somebody falls out during onboarding, we're going to lose the booking and finance won't get the revenue or the cash. So I'll be looking at conversion points all the way across that spectrum, making sure the relationship triangle, finance, marketing, and sales are working well together. Some might say, what about customer success and account management? They should be there too. Maybe I need a financial square. But in the example here, we were talking about net new clients. So let's set aside customer success, renewals, and churn, and just stick with the conversion points and flows we're chasing as we go to win these new customers. If you're looking at the conversion points and you're watching leading indicators, you're going to see almost certainly in month one, two, or three that something's going wrong. No plan survives first contact with the enemy, is what they always said when I was in the army. Better yet, Mike Tyson always said, everybody's got a plan till they get punched in the face. In month two of the fiscal year, I don't know about you, but I'm always getting punched. Either a product we were going to launch isn't ready, a competitor is doing something we didn't expect, pipeline isn't building, whatever the case might be, we're not going to have to solve for that. That's what we do as leaders. And what should happen isn't what does happen. And let me use the example of what should happen. If across all three functions, we have the definitions and the goals and the conversion points defined and it's locked in, we should have a technological infrastructure that allows us to model. Imagine this. Imagine the sales leader and the marketing leader sitting down in front of an application or some sort of tool and modeling 12 to 20 potential demand generation investments. Across those 10 to 12 to 20 investments, the marketing and the sales leader come up with six or seven potential investments. This cocktail of six investments is the best way to fill a gap. We're sitting in month two. We have a predicted gap in month seven, eight, nine. If we do these six things now, we can fill that gap. By the way, we don't have to launch them all today. We could launch some in month two and month four and month five, and we'll get there with the optimal spend profile. Imagine the tools that marketing and sales are using can actually predict using AI the win of the bookings. We can see by month when those investments should yield the bookings. That gives finance the proxy it needs for revenue and cash, the important metrics they have to look at to run the business. So now marketing and sales will walk together arm in arm down the Elevic Road into finance. They presented everything to the finance leader, and the finance leader gets it. And I can tell you, I've talked to hundreds of finance leaders, and I have not met one who has conversations like that with sales and marketing. Not one. It never happens that way, but it should. Because sales and marketing are responsible stewards of corporate investments to build demand generation and pipeline. Now, a finance agreement, now go back to that CEO all the way at the top. At the Monday ELT meeting, finance says, I worked with sales and marketing. We came up with this investment package. Here's the dollars. Here's the return. We believe with 97% probability or better, they will achieve that return, right? That's the goal we should get to. And if I was trying very diligently to cross-functionally harmonize processes and definitions and drive things in that direction, I would probably still have that job today. Right? Instead, what happens? We all see it. The loudest voice in the room gets the budget. The person with the best political clout gets the budget. The CEO picks the cheapest option because he or she is worried about cash. We start making bad decisions because we haven't glued all of these things together. And you're going to hear people talk about revenue architecture. I mentioned it. I love it. I am a revenue architect. But if you don't get the human to human part right, the rest is going to be a battle. I wrote an ebook about the planning process. And I'm not here today to tell you exactly how to build a plan, but I kind of broke it down into 8 core steps. Once you have the definitions set, once you have the communication going between the functions and an idea of how the technological infrastructure is going to work, that collaborative planning process kind of has 8 components from my view. Number one, review past performance. Past performance is the best predictor of the future. That means a common data set that we all look against for past performance truth. Number two, we use that past performance data set that we've agreed upon to create a predictive model inside an AI platform using machine learning and other constructs. Number three, the AI then builds predictive models out into the future, 12, even 24 months, so we can see where we're going. Number four, once that baseline exists, we make adjustments to it. You may know things about your business that the data does not. So we make adjustments to the baseline. Number four, once we baselined our future, we layer on our top-down goals and we see the gaps. Where are we trying to go and how are we going to get there? Then we can model sales and marketing investments to just close those gaps. Here's our run rate. Here's our goal. Here's the delta. How do we close that in the most efficient way? Once that's done, make it happen. Your tool should tell you daily, weekly, monthly, are we on the right path? Yes or no? If not, what steps should we take? In lean manufacturing, we call it daily management. It doesn't have to be daily, but at least weekly. For that $5 million net new client goal, I don't want to find out in month 8 that we're way behind pace. I want to find out in month 2 or month 3 of week 1 that the leading indicators aren't working for us so I can take action while I can still have a measurable result. So at the end of this session, you'll have a chance to download the ebook. Please take a look. I do hope you'll find it useful. One of the things I'm also providing to a number of people who request it is my company, Outset. I was so passionate about these topics, I built a company to solve for these things. We will work with a select number of people to actually bring in their data, build predictive models, and show them what that future is going to look like. It's going to be on you to get the communication right inside of your business. It's going to be on you to break down the barriers between go-to-market functions. And it's going to be on you to create that relationship triangle across finance, marketing, and sales. But we would love to help you build the predictive models. We would love to help you model some sales and marketing spend and help you drive results. Look, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to me. I enjoyed speaking with you, and I look forward to hearing with you sometime in the future. Thanks so much.
Thank you for joining us in today's forward-thinking session of Human Connection Done Right. As we transition to our next expert speaker, remember that together we are redefining the future. To stay engaged and informed, visit revenue-bydesign.com, where together we will be deliberate, be intentional, and be successful.